We're wrapping up Habakkuk this week. In Habakkuk, we know that Habakkuk was sharing his personal struggles with the Lord. He was wondering, why are you silent in these times? But he also continued to ask very difficult questions. God actually encourages us to address our questions directly to him. He recognizes that doubt can seep into our lives. And we need to remember that when we worry or when we're scared, that turns inside of us. And that is when depression develops. So it is good to go to the Lord. It is good to talk to a fellow Christian about what is going on in our lives. God is whom we need to turn our hearts to in times of doubt. Turn to him and embrace him. Be careful to never underestimate your value as a child of God. Expect an answer in God's time and know that he has a plan, and the plan will always work for justice. God wants his people to know that when evil seems to prosper, it is not a permanent prosperity. The Babylonians are now marching toward Judah, and things are going to get worse. Habakkuk asks God to remember mercy in times of wrath. Life is filled with unanswered questions and uncertainty. And when you have a family that you're caring for you or others are relying on you, sometimes that can be very unnerving. And what are we to do? What are we to do? We are to trust God. God may seem slow in his response, but he is never late, ever. We reviewed in Habakkuk 2, verse 3, this vision is of the future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. So wait in faith and be patient. Some of us are still learning how to be patient, right? Trust God. Knowing God personally will allow you to trust in him for strength in all circumstances. Habakkuk's strength would come from the Lord. Solomon had recognized that there would be events in life that would totally be out of our control, as most circumstances are, right? Seems to be out of our control. And Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. Things will happen. We need to trust God. As we read through Habakkuk 3, recognize that Habakkuk is in a place of firm faith. He recognizes that lasting happiness will only flow out of his relationship with God. He's walking closer to God so that the relationship of love will overflow. Habakkuk the prophet composed this praise song, which is all of chapter 3, to encourage believers not to be in despair, to find joy in the Lord, and to keep rejoicing in the Lord because of the great faith of the righteous. The righteous will always triumph. Habakkuk 3, verses 1 through 4. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, a shignat, which is a musical instrument. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came to Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hands where his power was hidden. He's prophesizing that we are going to have Jesus Christ come into our lives, that we are going to be sitting in the palm of his hands, that Jesus comes on behalf of God and he is able to destroy the enemies. His writing reveals a plea for revival. It's a song for revival. And in our song for revival, we need to definitely begin in prayer. Our prayer for revival comes with a checklist. This checklist can be titled, Lord, revive me. Self-check number one. Is my conduct glorifying God? Are my actions glorifying God? And then I need to recall that everything that is done in private, that counts. Lord, revive me. Check number two. Is my conversation glorifying God? Do I use profanity? Do I refrain from it, especially when I'm angry or hurt? Am I talking with Jesus daily? Am I turning to him in prayer? Am I refraining from using gossip? Oh, that comes out just so quickly. With God's help, we can refrain from gossip. The things that I post or put on Facebook, are they glorifying God? Are they representing a person who is a believer in Jesus? Lord, revive me. Lord, revive us. God will consistently show his power to you. He will bring revival. Some things we're just never going to understand until we meet with Jesus in heaven. I will assume that we will each have the opportunity to talk to him about things. But perhaps when we get there, we'll be filled with glory and won't need to go back to that stuff. We'll be at peace. We need to remember here on earth that we always need to turn from our pain and turn to God's love. Know that he loves us unconditionally and forever, no matter what is happening. Let's go back to Habakkuk, starting at chapter 5. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its wave on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great warriors, or the great waters, excuse me. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. Habakkuk glorified the majesty of God. Through the writing, through the song, he glorified God's almighty powers. As he glorified God and praised him, he became strengthened. As we glorify God, we become strengthened. Don't walk away from him in your down times, in your bad times. Don't abandon the Lord. You do realize that none of us has it all together, right? What was our song this morning? Beautiful messes. None of us has it together. We need to be in prayer and seek the Lord. We need to recognize our thoughts about God, recognize that our thoughts will truly affect our lives. Because of faith that Habakkuk had, he was able to make it through the scary times, the threatening times. And that's what we need to do. Turn from the pain to God. Allow hope to enter into your life. Holding on to loving thoughts will bring love. Holding on to thoughts of praise will bring praise. Holding on to his love will bring mercy. Trust in the Lord, especially in times of crisis. Boy, did Habakkuk have to do that. We do not have it all together, but we have a God who is all together, and he is worthy to be praised. You know, he always shows up for us. Coming to the end of Habakkuk, starting on verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. I can't imagine being a warrior or being an innocent person in a town that's being bombed. I can't imagine sitting and just waiting for the bad to happen without having a God that I can turn to in my life. Verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet feel like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. In this moment, Habakkuk is recognizing the complete loss of Judah. And yet he's able to rejoice in the Lord. He had a vision, and he saw that his town, his country, was desolate. He knew that was coming. And yet he knew that God's power was not diminished at all. Habakkuk was trembling. He was recognizing his own weaknesses as he stood before the mighty God. Oh, how he wanted to save his people. He was able to change his questioning, knowing that the Lord was right. Habakkuk chose love over fear and hate. When we have a wrong attitude moving into a situation, we need to think, why would God do this? When we are thinking, why would God do this? And why is God letting me go through this? Why is this happening? Why is this so hard? Turn to him. Change your attitude. Change your questioning. Know that you are strong and mighty. Know that you are covered in his love. And it simply said, I know you have this, God. I know you have this. Pray for strength to carry on as he would want you to carry on. Praise him. Rejoice in him. Practice this positive thinking. And don't look for the bad or give negativity any of your time. Know that God is with you. and wait on him to respond. This needs to be practiced daily. I came across this story about Benjamin Franklin as I was studying Habakkuk 3. He was not a Christian, though he had great respect for the Bible. And he used Habakkuk 3, 17, 18, and 19 to confound a group of sophisticated, cultured despisers of the Bible. When he was in Paris, he heard this group mocking the Bible and mocking Franklin for his admiration of it. One evening, he came among them and said that he had a manuscript containing an ancient poem. He was quite impressed with this poem, and he wanted to share it with them. And then he read Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. His listeners received it with praise and admiration. "What a magnificent poem," they said, and wanted to know where they could get copies of it. And Franklin told them to just look in Habakkuk chapter 3. 17. "Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet feel like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Knowing God as his personal Savior, Habakkuk had the ability to totally trust in him. And he was looking to God to give him the strength he needed to carry on. Strength like the way the deer confidently climb up and down the mountains. They don't plot and plan every step. They seem to skip, even with joy, on the rocky cliffs of the mountains. The prophet Habakkuk proclaimed, "God will set my steps firmly and lively as I trust in him. He will not allow me to slip or fall. I will do more than merely plod along. I will skip about with life and joy." Well, that's my prayer for you, that you leave this church finding yourself skipping with joy. And this week you find yourself skipping with joy. And if you're not into skipping, it's my prayer that you will find strength in the Lord, no matter if you're lying down or sitting or walking. Turn to the Lord. May all of you be granted patience as we trust in his plans. Have you noticed that as we studied this book of Habakkuk, that all of these revelations learned were not just for Habakkuk, but they were written to strengthen others? Yet all of the prophet's words were to the Lord and what the Lord had shared with him and their conversation back and forth. God's plan was to be sure that all believers would benefit from what Habakkuk was going through and experiencing, and that we would all benefit by recognizing how Habakkuk walked in God's light as he was moving forward. God our God is a sovereign God, and he's worthy to be praised. Coming down to the end of Habakkuk, basically and honestly, Habakkuk is sharing a very important lesson. Draw near to God and trust the Lord no matter what. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for making a way for us to come into our Father's presence. And we thank you for opening our hearts to his love. Allow us this week to trust and praise you, Lord, in all circumstances, even when we don't fully understand what is going on or why. May we turn to you in all circumstances. May we celebrate you every day. Bless us, Lord, with happy hearts. In your precious name, amen.